10 sailors are missing and 5 are confirmed injured after American warship hit a tanker off Singapore. It is now the second collision involving the U.S. 7th Fleet in just 2 months.
U.S. Defense Secretary James Mattis on Sunday saying President Donald Trump has decided the way forward for America's 15-year fight in Afghanistan. But no word yet on what that plan looks like. On Saturday, he tweeted, many decisions made, including on Afghanistan.
Realize that we all interact together in this cosmic ballet. Moon's like a little brother or sister. We go around the sun with the moon. There's other planets doing, going around the sun as well. What's going to happen with the eclipse is a reminder of that you can experience on Earth. You're going to see the sun in our sky get blacked out by the moon, and it's a reminder that we're all part of this cosmic ballet that has been going on for billions of years and will continue to go on. And we just kind of forget about that, I think, from time to time, because we're so involved in our lives down here on Earth. What I'm most excited about with my experience is that I get to share this cosmic event with some of my friends. When you're in space, you're looking at a cosmic event and your family's not with you. In this case, there's going to be plenty of people around, and I think it's something that's going to be fun to share as a community.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to The Opening Bell on this Monday, August 21st, 2017, 5:11 in the morning. Glad you're here with us. And we're live in southern Illinois, West Frankfort, to be exact, just a little north of Carbondale this morning, as we get ready for the big cosmic event that's going to be unfolding later today. Excitement has been building here all week, and they've really gone all out here in southern Illinois, welcoming people from all across the country to see the solar eclipse later this morning. They're calling this the crossroads of the eclipse because they're going to see two eclipses here in southern Illinois within about 7 years, one today and then one again in 2024. That's a very rare occurrence, so they're taking advantage of it. They began having events as early as last week, and they continued all weekend long. Coming up in just a little bit here on the program, we're going to be talking to one of the people who's in charge of putting together some of those events about how this is going to be a big economic boon for southern Illinois. And in a minute, we'll bring in Michelle Nichols from the Adler Planetarium, who's down here with us as well. And she will talk a little bit about some of the science and majesty of the solar eclipse as it happens. We'll talk to her about how the Adler has been involved, because they've been playing a big role. Adler and NASA will actually be doing sort of a halftime show at the SRU Arena later today at the football stadium, where they've sold out the stadium. As many as 17,000 people will be there, all watching the eclipse together. That's just one of the big locations. We'll get into that momentarily as well. But first, on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning, Dow futures are negative, looking for a weaker open on Wall Street later this morning, off about 18 points right now. NASDAQ futures are down about 12, and S&P futures are off just about 3 points this morning. Around the globe, Asian stocks generally fragile this morning as continued concerns about the global political situation and the situation here in the United States. Many investors remain unconvinced that President Trump will be able to fulfill his economic agenda, which includes tax cuts and also infrastructure. Japan's Nikkei shed about 0.3%. Also in Asia this morning, the Hang Seng is lower, and so are some of the rest of the indices there as well. In Europe this morning, markets are generally lower as well, with the FTSE in London off about a quarter, and so is the DAX, almost 0.5% now in the DAX in Germany, down 49 points, and the CAC in France is off about 0.5% as well at 23 points there this morning. Futures on the oil market this morning show oil at $48.51 a barrel, which is generally flat. Again, Dow, NASDAQ, S&P futures all pointing toward opening losses later this morning on Wall Street. Well, the economy around the eclipse also includes worker productivity today. Challenger Gray and Christmas, we reported a little bit of this last week, says there will be about $600 million worth of lost productivity today around the nation, about $34 million in Chicago, as people stop what they're doing, go outside and watch the eclipse, whether it be the partial eclipse in Chicago or the full eclipse, wherever they may be in the path of totality. $600 million worth of lost productivity. That includes people taking the day off and taking time out of their day either to build solar eclipse glasses or to take a longer lunch hour to watch it. Also, today, Volkswagen has announced that it's ready to join the electric car revolution, and in a big way, too. They're bringing back the VW bus. It'll be called the ID Buzz Electric Microbus, and it'll be out in 2022. Well, the eclipse is a big deal for the Adler Planetarium in Chicago, and Michelle Nichols is one of the astronomers there who's here in Carbondale along with many of the other staff members. We had a chance to sit down and talk with Michelle, and she's with us this morning to talk a little bit about how this is happening and where people will be able to see what and why it's important. Michelle, good morning. Welcome to the Opening Bell.
Thank you so much.
This is an exciting day, isn't it?
It most certainly is.
You have been preparing for this for what, weeks, months?
About a year and a half total. Yeah, it's been a long haul, but finally ready to see what the sky gives us.
And the sky's going to, you know, we know that there's going to be a solar eclipse, and that's a big deal. Why is it such a big deal?
Well, solar eclipses by themselves are amazing, awesome experiences, because it's a phenomenon that, while the frequency is not necessarily rare, because we have a total solar eclipse somewhere on Earth, on average, about once a year. It's just that the path in which you need to be on a very specific date at a very specific time, that path is usually pretty small. And so the opportunity that people have to go see a solar eclipse is usually a lot smaller. But this particular eclipse is more noteworthy because that path of totality, where you can see the moon 100% cover the sun, is going to fall from Oregon to South Carolina. So this eclipse has been very accessible for a large part of the country.
And since 1979, it hasn't been one like this in the U.S. Is that
right,
accurate?
So, right. So the last time a total solar eclipse touched any of the lower 48 United States was February 26th of 1979. And the last time a total solar eclipse touched any of the 50 United States, it was Hawaii, the Big Island, got to see, well, actually, most of them didn't get to see it. It was cloudy that day in 1991.
Let's talk a little bit about the different things that we're going to hear about this. You used one of the words just then, totality. Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
So totality is when the moon completely covers the sun. And so the place on Earth where you need to be to see that happen is called the path of totality. And so the path of totality for this particular eclipse is only about 70 miles wide, but it stretches from west of Oregon to east of South Carolina. So this is a nice long path, and so people have the opportunity to actually drive or fly to this path to be able to see the moon completely cover the sun.
And does it begin in Oregon then and go west?
Actually begins in the Pacific Ocean.
Okay.
So think of the eclipse occurring, the very start of the eclipse occurring as the sun is coming up at local sunrise in the Pacific Ocean. And then as the day goes on, as the Earth moves and turns, as the moon moves, this shadow of the moon will race across the Pacific Ocean. Then it touches the very west coast of Oregon. And it moves across quite a few states, goes through Carbondale, Illinois, finally ends up exiting the United States in South Carolina. And then it continues to keep going into the Atlantic Ocean. And so then it ends at local sunset in the eastern Atlantic.
Why does Carbondale seem to be the epicenter of this?
Well, Carbondale will be one of the larger towns that will be closest to the point at which that totality is longest in duration. So for these totalities, you're basically underneath the moon's shadow. So the moon's shadow is racing across you, and actually, in Carbondale, it's going to be traveling at about 1,400 miles an hour. So this moon shadow is racing across you. And so you only get a very short amount of time when you are within the moon's shadow, where the moon totally covers the sun. So in Carbondale, the greatest duration will be about 2 minutes and 38 seconds. And the longest duration is actually just south of Carbondale in a little town called Macanda, where they're going to get 2 minutes and 41 seconds of totality.
Macanda, everybody may know that. That's where Senator Paul Simon is
from. That's correct. They have a yellow water tower down there painted with a smiley face and a bow tie.
Tell us what's going to happen when, for those of us who've not experienced a total eclipse like this, when is this going to be a slow process? So we'll see it getting dark, and then it's going to be, what is it like when this happens?
Yeah, so the whole process takes close to 3 hours, but the duration of totality can be just a few seconds, or for this one, up to 2 minutes and 41 seconds. So it's sort of a slow burn, then a quick process, and then another slow burn till it ends. So what's going to happen is the moon will start to take a teeny tiny bite out of the sun, and it will start to pass over the sun. So it's passing in between the Earth and the sun. And so you see this more and more and more. And actually, you won't really notice that it's getting dark because the sun is still blazingly bright. And so I call it deceivingly bright. You can cut off most of the sun and still it just looks like a regular day outside. When you get to about 20 minutes prior to totality, then you start noticing some strange shadows on the ground. The edges of shadows are going to look sharper. You may start to, if you're next to a tree, you may start to see little eclipse images all over the ground. And those are caused by the sunlight, little sliver of sunlight passing through leaves on the trees, little pinholes in the leaves, spaces between the leaves, spangling eclipses all over the ground, just like a pinhole projector. Then right before the eclipse, you're definitely going to notice it's going to be dark. The eclipse shadow passes over you. It's dark. It's about as dark as a full moon night. So it's not completely dark. You may start to see bright stars and planets in the sky. The horizon around you is lit. So it's a very strange looking sort of dark. And then a few seconds to a couple minutes later, the moon's shadow moves on. The totality part is over. Then you've got to have you see those strange shadows again. Then it continues until the moon leaves the face of the sun and the eclipse is over.
Isn't it kind of cool? I mean, there's a lot of cool things about the moon, but isn't it kind of cool that the moon is just the right size and distance that we get this this fun drama?
It's exactly right. And it's not common in the solar system for a moon to be large enough to cover the sun. We just happen to have a moon which is one quarter the Earth's diameter, whereas most of the moons in the solar system, if you compare them to the size of the thing that they orbit, the thing they go around, they're a lot smaller. And so we're lucky to have a moon that is big compared to us. It's a large moon. Compared to other moons, it's a large moon. But also we've got the benefit of perspective. Even though the moon is one quarter the size of the Earth, it's smaller, and it's much smaller than the sun. The sun is at the right distance away that the moon can cover it completely. And so the moon is 400 times smaller. The sun is 400 times farther away. So that's how we can have this phenomenon happen.
Once it gets dark, I'm guessing is where most of the science will happen, right? What are the big science experiments that's going to happen when that totality happens?
So one of the things that totality affords scientists to study is parts of the sun that are usually fairly inaccessible to us. So when totality happens, the moon covers the sun. You see this wispy white stuff around the sun. That's the sun's outer atmosphere. It's called the corona. It's a Latin word that means crown because that's kind of what it looks like. And so from Earth's surface, a total solar eclipse is the only chance you have to study the corona. Now, we have spacecraft in space that can study the sun, and we have instruments that also study the corona, but there's a gap in between where we stop studying the sun and we start studying the corona. There's a bit of a gap. And so total solar eclipses allow us to see this entire corona. And it's a part of the sun we actually don't know a huge amount about. So you're going to get scientists getting their 2 minutes a day to here and their 2 minutes a day to there, scattered across the country. And if we're lucky, we'll get maybe an hour and a half's worth of data for this eclipse.
What do you think might we look for and will we hope to find from that?
So we want to learn more about the corona, because one of the things that is puzzling about the corona is how hot it really is. The lit part of the sun... Now, don't look at the sun, and anyone, if they're driving, don't look at the sun. But the lit part of the sun, the part of the sun that we can quote-unquote see, don't look at it, is at about 11,000 degrees. The corona temperature is into the millions of degrees. There's this transition region as to where you get this 11,000 going up to a couple million. What happens there? That's what they want to find out.
There's some other scientific science projects, too, that I hear at Mizzou, they're going to be studying what the bees are doing when the light goes out.
Right. There's going to be some folks studying what animals are doing during eclipses and also what the weather is doing during eclipses, because there's a huge array of anecdotal evidence about, the clouds come in, the clouds go out, the wind picks up, the wind dies down, the chickens go to roost, the crickets start chirping, the cows go into the barn, all that stuff. And so that's all anecdotal, but there's going to be some folks really actually taking this data and going, okay, here's where I was, here's what happened. And so here's what the effects of the eclipse were. And so it's kind of interesting to me, at least, that we don't actually have this as a scientific study. So it'll be neat to see that afterwards.
And the beauty of this, too, and this must get you and everyone at the Adler very excited, is that you get to recruit pretty much everybody who's watching this potentially as a citizen scientist.
Exactly. Yeah. There's some folks putting some apps together and some folks with web pages. You can just look up Eclipse Citizen Science and you'll come up with a few possibilities. So this is where we need people across the country to help out with this, because otherwise there just aren't enough scientists or people specially trained in what to do with this data to be able to go out and fan out across the country. We need people who are science observers. We need all those folks with their eyeballs out and their ears open to be able to get this information and then submit it. And so then the scientists can start to go to work on actually tabulating everything.
And this will be one of the first total solar eclipse in the United States, where we have the beauty of social media and all of the technology from everybody with a phone. What are some of the important things to remember? You mentioned don't look at the sun.
Right.
What do we need to know about that?
Well, during the partial phases of the eclipse, so anywhere in the country where the moon is partly covering the sun, and that will be everywhere, you will need proper solar viewing glasses to be able to safely see the sun. If you don't have that, that's when it's helpful to just look under a tree and you can see the projected image of the sun. Or you can watch it online on NASA's eclipse page, where they'll have video feeds. But one thing to tell folks is, if you're totally within that path of totality and the moon 100% covers the sun, that's when you actually want to look at totality. Because you won't be able to see it otherwise, because it's just not that bright. It won't get through your solar viewing glasses. But another thing to keep in mind is, if you're out there and totality happens, you're in the path, you're down in your Carbondale, wherever you are, and you're in the path and you want to try to Facebook Live this or video it or text it back to someone, you're probably going to be in an area that doesn't have great cell phone coverage to begin with. So the thing that I tell people is, put the electronic devices down, because, yeah, you want to capture this, but don't do it at the expense of missing the eclipse. We like to say in the field that every solar eclipse lasts 8 seconds, because that's what it feels like. It feels like those couple of minutes, oh, it's forever. No, it's really short. And so I'd like to tell folks, afterwards, go buy a professional's version of the a print of the image and of the eclipse and put that up on your wall, but put everything down and just enjoy it. That's the best advice I can give.
For folks who are back in Chicago, they'll get to see a partial eclipse. Those glasses are going to be very important, aren't they?
They're going to be absolutely 100% necessary if you want to look at the eclipse with your eyes. So if you're just enjoying it online and you're just enjoying a video feed, fine. You don't need anything like that. If you're inside your house, no, you don't need it. But if you want to go outside and actually look at the sun for yourself, which I do recommend, because that's the beauty of this is there is a phenomenon happening right above your head. You do need those safe solar viewing glasses. So definitely grab a pair, or a number 14 welder's glass can work, or just go under a tree and look for images of the eclipse on the ground.
Let's talk about how Adler is getting ready for this, because you're doing stuff here and downstate as well. Let's talk about first what's happening here in Chicago. For those who can't go down to Carbondale, how is Adler getting ready for this, and then how will you behave on the day of this?
Yep. So the Adler Planetarium is planning and will be having a huge eclipse fest right in the parking lot right next to the Adler. So for August 21st, so from 9:30 a.m. to 6 p.m., so we'll have food trucks and activities and performers, and the U.S. Postal Service will be canceling their eclipse stamp on the day of the eclipse, which is pretty cool. So there's a lot going on, and we're giving out tens of thousands of pairs of solar viewing glasses there at the Adler Planetarium. So totally free. Come on down for the Outdoor Eclipse Fest. And then down at Daly Plaza, for a portion of the time, we're going to have folks down there with a couple telescopes so folks can see an image of the eclipse, and they're going to be handing out glasses there as well. So if folks have to work downtown, come on down on your lunch hour, grab a pair of glasses, enjoy the eclipse.
And the beauty, too, of the day of eclipse, and even before that, is that in places across Illinois, southern Illinois specifically, where they don't have access to the Adler every day or even regularly, you're going to bring the Adler to them in a way, aren't you?
That's exactly right. We have an outreach program that we call Galaxy Ride, and we're driving down to southern Illinois, and we're bringing activities to various places like brew pubs, schools, parks, a couple restaurants. So we're going where people already are, and it's at no cost to any of the folks down there. We just want to share the eclipse with folks, especially those people who are lucky enough to live within the path of totality. And so we're going to meet an awful lot of people during Galaxy Ride, and we're really looking forward to it.
You've been having nightmares about cloudy skies?
I have, yes. For about the last 3 months, about once a week, I start to have this it's going to be cloudy in Carbondale kind of nightmare. So, yeah, I'm kind of dealing with that right now.
Even if it's cloudy, there's still going to be a show, isn't there?
Absolutely, yes. So even if it's cloudy wherever someone is, then the sky above you, it's still going to get dark. And so you just won't see the eclipse if it happens to be completely cloudy. That's where watching the eclipse on NASA's website would be a great thing to do, or see it afterwards. So in the football stadium at Southern Illinois University, they'll have the video board going. So no matter what, there will be a view of something. And so it just depends on, do we get a direct view of the eclipse in the sky, or do we watch it on the video board?
It's not every day either that NASA comes and sets up shop in Illinois.
That's true.
So that's going to be kind of cool. They'll have their cameras and everything going.
They will. The NASA Edge online broadcast team is going to be in Carbondale. They're planning about a 4-hour broadcast. And so they're going to be live there, cloudy or clear. And so they'll be bringing people the sense of what's going on and interviews and all sorts of stuff before, during, and after the eclipse in Carbondale.
This is all fun to us and science-y, which we all love. But there used to be, in the history of the world, when a solar eclipse happened, it used to make kings and wizards, didn't it?
It used to just be terrifying for some people, especially if you had no idea that this was going to happen. There have been cases of, there's a story that there were two court astronomers who worked for the Chinese emperor, and an eclipse happened. They had gotten a little tipsy. They didn't warn the emperor that the eclipse was going to occur. And so what did he do afterwards? Apparently off with their heads. So they paid the ultimate price, supposedly, for not warning the emperor about this eclipse. I don't know how much of that is anecdotal and how much is actually true, but it's an illustrative story at the very least at how seriously people took this phenomenon in the sky. Eclipses have stopped battles before. The Lydians and the Medeans were battling it out on Earth. An eclipse happens in the sky. They stopped their war. So there have been all sorts of things that have happened, all related to solar eclipses.
Of course, if you have friends who are living in a cave and they don't know there's going to be a solar eclipse, it might be the best parlor joke ever to say, hey, it's going to get dark in 5 minutes.
You know, Christopher Columbus supposedly knew, not supposedly, he did. He knew that a lunar eclipse was going to happen. And he had his tables. He was a little bit scared that he hadn't converted the times and everything quite right. But he was able to talk to some native Caribbean residents whose island he had just landed on. Basically, he said, yeah, I can make the moon go dark. And he was able to basically say, okay, yeah, I know when this lunar eclipse is going to happen, so I'm going to take advantage of this situation.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, he was able to use a prediction of the eclipse to get some stuff that he wanted here on Earth.
Michelle, thank you for coming in, and best of luck to everybody at Adler, and here's to a sunny day and happy eclipse.
I wish everyone clear skies wherever they are.
Michelle Nichols is an astronomer and one of the lead education experts and researchers at the Adler Planetarium in Chicago. She's down here in southern Illinois. We'll be helping leading the show later on at SIU Carbondale, where we'll be in place later on this morning. We will continue with the opening bell live from southern Illinois on Eclipse Day in just a minute. I'm Steve Grzanich. It's 5:32.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is the opening bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the program. It's 5:42. Glad you're here with us for our Monday edition. We're live in southern Illinois this morning in West Frankfort on our way to Carbondale a little bit later on this morning. And in Carbondale is where we find Steve Mitchell this morning. He's the Director of Economic Development at the Carbondale Chamber of Commerce, here to talk a little bit about some of the economic impact from the solar eclipse. Steve, good morning. Welcome to the opening bell.
Good morning to you, Steve.
Well, southern Illinois is already, I have to tell you, I've been here all weekend and was in Carbondale. And lots of stuff is going on. Talk to me about the excitement level here.
You know, I was walking around town all day yesterday and late into the night, and I couldn't believe just how many people were in town and just the mood. Everyone was really positive. It was really a great feeling. I met people from all over the world and from all over the country, frankly.
Yeah, so where have you met people coming from? Where do you get the sense that people are coming from, or is it everywhere?
Well, literally everywhere. I met people from England, from New Zealand, from several of the Asian countries, Taiwan, Japan, literally all over the world.
Well, two of the questions I think I heard most often over the weekend was, first of all, what's the weather going to be like today? And then, two, where are you going to be at station? Where are you going to be positioned to watch the eclipse? Both of those things are, at least the first one, is on the minds of many this morning. But I would imagine whether it's cloudy or sunny, Carbondale's still going to enjoy a big benefit from this. Tell us about that.
Absolutely. Well, the weather forecast looks pretty good right now, but of course it's the weather, so one never really knows for sure. The impact has been tremendous. I think we'll find for sure in a few days or in the time to come that it's going to be amazing. We've done some projections just to take a look at what the potential would be, and frankly, we think we could see about $8 million to the private sector over this weekend.
Right. And that's in just Carbondale. I mean, there are many communities. First of all, Macanda, just south of Carbondale, there are all kinds of other places doing things. Do you get a sense of what the economic impact to southern Illinois in general is going to be like?
That's a great question. You know, we haven't really looked at that, but I think it would be safe to say you could easily look at $100 to $200 per visitor per day. Wouldn't be out of line.
The other part of this, too, that I think is fascinating. First of all, you have a fascinating job because I would imagine you always have to be up and ready and know these events are coming. But how far in advance do you see something like a solar eclipse or, in Carbondale's case, a double solar eclipse over the course of, you know, just a decade? How far in advance do you start getting ready for this and coming up with ideas?
Well, I know that SIU has been planning for this for nearly 3 years. The city of Carbondale has been planning for this for about a year now or more. There's been a lot of effort gone into this. Hundreds of people, I'd say many hundreds of people, have been working together to plan this. And it's just how well it's turned out so far has just been amazing.
Well, what are your concerns as today comes into view? I know a lot of folks are probably going to make the trip within 2 hours, so they're probably getting ready to leave right now if they're not already here. Is the community, is the city ready for the influx of more traffic and people, and is everything set in that area? What are your concerns?
Absolutely they are. We've got a really great public service, public safety folks, our police, our fire, emergency services. They've been planning and preparing for this for months and months, and they've been working together with many different agencies. Our public works folks, our Department of Transportation folks, they've all been working together, talking about contingency plans. I'm very confident that they'll keep the traffic moving and keep everyone safe.
You know, I know that you also have a tough job and that you can't really play favorites for one business over another or one spot over another, but you probably have a lot of people listening now coming into the city. What would you tell them to do after the eclipse? What are the best things to do while they're in Carbondale?
Well, I think you kind of hit on a great point. There's only so many hotel rooms in Carbondale and in the surrounding areas. Matter of fact, we estimate there's about 3,000 hotel rooms within about a two-hour drive of Carbondale. So that really limits the number of people who could spend overnight. So we estimate that there's going to be a lot of people coming in, just as you referenced. Our suggestion would be to stick around a little while after the eclipse. Don't try to head home immediately because everyone else is going to, and the roads may experience some delays trying to get back. So stick around, enjoy what we have to offer here, enjoy some of the great restaurants, some of the great dining. Carbondale is the gateway to the Shawnee Forest and a great gateway to many, many great wineries. Believe it or not, a lot of folks don't realize that there's 25 or 30 really nice wineries in the area. It's a beautiful location, very scenic, lots of things to do here. So I'd say stick around a little while, take your time, enjoy the area, and then head back once the traffic eases up a little bit.
And then the million-dollar question is, you already have 2024 on the blueprint, on the drawing board, ready to go? Are you still started planning for that yet?
Well, I got to tell you, Steve, this eclipse has been a dress rehearsal for 2024. we've learned a lot of things. This is brand new to us. How many times does a community get to prepare for something like this? There was no playbook. There was no guidelines whatsoever. We just had to kind of talk to the experts and figure it out as we went. So, yeah, we're going to be debriefing in a week or two, figuring out, what went right, what we could have done better, and get all that documented. And I think we'll be ready for even a more successful event in 2024.
Well, Steve, we appreciate you getting up with us this morning. And here's to and for hosting all of us as well. Here's to clear skies later this morning.
Thanks, and welcome to Southern Illinois. We're really happy to have you here.
All right, thank you. Steve Mitchell is the Director of Economic Development at the Carbondale Chamber of Commerce, the city of Carbondale, and the crossroads of the eclipse. Not just one today, but another one in 2024.
Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the program. It's 5:53 on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning. Dow futures now negative. Actually, all of them still negative, but improving a little bit. Dow futures are just off a point now. NASDAQ futures off about a point and a half. Oil is trading a little bit higher this morning. Gold and silver higher as well. Let's get the latest on commodities and agriculture now. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. Not the best week last week in the grain market or the livestock market. So let's hope we get off to a better start on this first trading day of the week. Chicago Board of Trade, corn, soybeans, and wheat rose early in the day, but then good weather limited attempts at a very strong rally. So for the week, wheat was down 5%, soybeans down 0.75%, corn ended the week down 2.5%. In the livestock trade at the Mercantile Exchange, live cattle futures again dropping to 9-month lows, but coming off those lows before the close. And in the lean hog trade, lean hogs fell for a third consecutive session, pressured by sell stops, slumping cash prices because of a seasonal supply growth that hits the hog market about this time of the year. Well, this week is the week we bring out the old farm equipment, the Half Century of Progress show at Rantoul, Illinois, gets underway Thursday, continues into Sunday. Max Armstrong and I will be there on Saturday. Well, Max will be there every day, but we'll both be there with the band at 3 o'clock Saturday afternoon and hope to see you there. And then after a one-day break on Monday, everybody packs up and moves to Decatur, Illinois. The Farm Progress Show getting underway Tuesday, August 29, continuing through August 31. Hope to see you at those shows. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
And thanks, Orion. Back here in Southern Illinois now, live with the opening bell, just to give you a sense of what is going to be happening here later this morning during the Steve Cochran Show. We'll be talking to you from Carbondale, where I'll be for the big event later this day at about 1:20 Chicago time, where the total eclipse will happen in Southern Illinois. People in Chicago, if it's clear, we'll see a partial eclipse, about 90% eclipsed during that same period of time. So we'll be live during all of this morning. Stay tuned to WGN for the very latest. Now the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk outlook for this day and this week. Really no major economic reports on the calendar for today, but tomorrow trade talks between the U.S. and South Korea get underway. German Economic Sentiment Index is released. Norway's Sovereign Wealth Fund results as well. On a Wednesday, Samsung will hold a Galaxy event. The latest release of its Galaxy, the new Galaxy, will get earnings from Lowe's, HP, and others. U.S. weekly crude inventories data as well. On Thursday, Tiffany earnings, the U.K. GDP, central bankers, the Federal Reserve central bankers will meet in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and we may get some direction about what they plan to do with the interest rates and monetary policy for the rest of the week. And we'll see a verdict on Friday coming in the Samsung trial. Just some of the things that could move the markets on this Monday and through the week, August 21st, 2017.